Hey, hey, you're listening to The Zen Courses Show, episode 52. Let's go.
Welcome to The Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, The Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co.
Hey everyone, just wanted to give a quick 60-second prelude before we get into the interview. So this episode is with Hallie Gray. Hallie, if you don't know her already, is a marketing genius. She is the founder of Evolve and Succeed and the creator of a course called Be Booked Out. So what we're going to talk about in this episode is not only her course, but also Hallie specializes in helping service providers, particularly designers, VAs, and such, to set up systems to be booked out. So we're going to talk about that, and we're also going to talk about the differences between going straight into offering courses versus focusing on services first, which Hallie and I are both huge advocates of. So enjoy this interview, and I will see you on the other side. I've got lots of great stuff to share with you after this interview, so be sure to hang out until the end. Oh, one more thing. Just giving you a heads up, there's some swear words in this episode. So if you got kids, cover them up. Cover them up. Unless you swear in front of your kids. Yeah. Okay, let's go. Hallie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
I'm really excited to chat with you. So we're going to get into it. But first, we've got some general questions, kind of warm up for the audience. Where are you from, Hallie? I was like doing my research and I was like, yeah. She was in New Zealand. Now she's in the States. I don't know anywhere about where you're from.
I'm a rogue. I'm from Connecticut and then I moved to New Zealand for the past decade. And then I've just come back and moved to Portland, Oregon. Oregon. I don't know how to say it.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's I'm the same way. I'm a military brat. Yeah. I don't have a home. So I was
awesome.
I've never met anybody who was just like, I don't know where they're from.
Great.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, yeah. I know you're in Portland because you posted that picture of croissants while I was fasting. That was nice.
Yeah, I didn't know. I wouldn't have done it. Croissants are pretty much my weak spot 100%
of the
time.
They're mine too.
They're so good.
Yes, I will travel for a good croissant. But anyway, it is time for the rapid five. I've got five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Are you ready?
Cool. Yep.
Number one, cats or dogs?
Cats.
Number two, what is your favorite song out right now?
Oh my God. It'd have to be, I don't know how to pronounce his name right, Jadena, Chief Don't Run.
Okay. Yeah. I listened to that song pretty recently. All right. Number three, name your go-to comfort food. Can't say croissants.
Damn it. That's exactly what I was going to say. Chicken tenders or pizza. One of those delicious curvy things.
All right. Number four, if you could have one superpower, but no one could know about it, what would it be?
Mind reading? No, that would be creepy. Levitation, because I feel like stairs would just become a lot easier.
Yeah, that's true. All right, last one. What is your favorite word?
Portmanteau.
Okay, I thought you were going to swear. That's why I was laughing.
Cock block or portmanteau. Either way.
Because those two totally go together.
Yeah. Makes sense in my head, I guess.
That's cool. All right. Hallie, what is your story? How did you come to be the mastermind behind Evolve and Succeed?
So my business story is that I got addicted to the power of the internet when I was just starting and as a blogger. And I did this. This is a sad story, but my mom is dying of stage 4 cancer, and I put out on the internet, like, she's always wanted to travel the world. She's not going to make it. So could you just send a postcard? So amazingly enough, like, hundreds of people around the world sent in a postcard from the different places that they live. And I was like, whoa, the internet is a powerful place. And so even in a shitty time like that, I was like, wow, this is blowing me away. So it was kind of my first understanding of how important it is, or how influential and life-changing the internet can be. And then I decided, I've always wanted to own my own business, and I was trying to figure out what that would look like. So I went and experimented with different business models. And it turned out that what I found really easy to do was to offer marketing advice, and I got people results. So that's what I went forward with. And in the past couple of years, I launched my signature method as a program or a course called Be Booked Out. And that's what I've been focusing on for the past year and a half. It's just Be Booked Out, and it's amazing students inside of it.
Yeah. So when did you first launch Be Booked Out?
That's a great question. And time is pretty slippery when you work from home, but I'm pretty sure it's November 2015 now, I think.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So we're going to come back to the course, but you and I have chatted. We were chatting before we started about, the trajectory. Right now, everybody is pushing online courses like hard. Mm-hmm. And, you have made a comment where you really guide people to focus on services as a first step. I wholeheartedly believe in that. I've done it. I've written about it. But I'm curious, what is it for you? Why is that important?
So I guess I base things off of, there's a lot of advice on the internet, and then I base things off of what I've seen work for myself and work for my clients and my students. And so I love testing things and experimenting. And that's why we call the business Evolve and Succeed. And so when I've seen people start with courses first, I've just seen them invest a lot of time and effort into something that's not viable long term, because it's great if you have like 5 sales and you make $200 that month, but then like going forward, what happens is that $200 dries up, and then you have to get new people in, and then you're just stuck at this kind of low income. Like you cap yourself for your income pretty quickly, because you've got a small audience, you've got a limited amount of experience and credentials to pull back from. So when it comes to services, it just ends up being the like easiest way to move online and generate like a full-time income. So that's why I recommend people doing it first, because it's just the most effective way of doing it. And then once you've built on that experience, you've built up your audience, you've been paid basically to create this course, which is how it works for myself and how it's worked for a lot of other successful people. Then you go ahead and launch it, and that's baller. But when you start with courses first, you're basically limiting yourself for the income you can make. And it's very rarely something that people succeed with right out of the gate. So it's really just, I want people to succeed. So if I tell people to do that first, I just feel like I'm kind of setting them up for failure, like tripping them.
Yeah. One of the things I love about services is you really get to learn your audience and the problems that they have, which is something when I interviewed Tara Gentile, we talked about that. It's one of the best ways to create your courses from a place of like really intelligence about what your learners' needs are. So I, again, really a big fan of focusing on services. You don't have to go crazy trying to get your course off the ground. So yeah, definitely. Okay.
Plus the courses are so much more valuable after they've been tested
exactly,
for a while.
Exactly. You know what people need to know, the results, and you have testimonials from working with clients.
Exactly. It's like a win. It's amazing.
Absolutely. So what was the motivation for Be Booked Out? Was it something you were just like, I know you said it's your process, but did people say, hey, I want this in a course, or like what, how did it come about?
So usually what happens in the evolution of a service-based provider is either you start charging a whole bunch more for your services that you had before. So you'll, if you started off at $500 a month, eventually you're going to get to a point where it's like $2,000 a month. And so what happens is that you've got an audience that's growing with you in terms of numbers, but you don't have them. They're all coming in kind of at different stages.
Yeah.
So if you want to help people, a larger number of people, you got to start offering courses to those people who are coming in who can't afford that $2,000 mark per month or whatever. So, I was charging for services and it was like $9,000. I couldn't have paid for my own services when I was first starting out. That's for an advanced business owner. So what I did was take the method. Spend a lot of time developing the curriculum and putting it out there and testing to see if people actually wanted it. And I'm a big believer in pre-selling. And so I just listened to Sade basically the whole time for like 5 days straight to create the actual course after I had sold it. So that's my big tip for everybody, is that do not create a course and listen to Sade first. I definitely recommend pre-selling everything, services, courses, everything. and listening to Sade.
100%. I'm on the fence. I don't know whether to talk about the pre-sale or talk about Sade. Sade is amazing.
It's an addiction, I'm going to be honest, because she's basically the perfect music to listen to when you're trying to create like 5 hours worth of content at 1 o'clock in the morning.
See, for me, I can only listen to so much Sade before I want to jump off a bridge.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That's fair enough. It's one or the other. Basically, those suicidal thoughts just keep me moving forward through creating the course. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And I'm like, right. Wait.
Just keep going. Yeah.
Like, but it's so smooth. It's so smooth.
Yes. But Sade is amazing. Okay, cool. So you pre-sold the course, and I think you wrote about this on Teachable's blog. That's how I first found you, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So tell me about the pre-sale. You know, how did you do that?
So basically, I don't make or do anything that doesn't make money first, because that's how you figure out if your idea is good or not, is people put down money for it. So basically what I did, because I think I was running solo at that point, was I was like, all right, well, I'm going to launch it just like I launch my services, because launching services is definitely a skill you can apply to launching courses. And then I was like, all right, I'm going to try it out. So I did. It was a 6-week course. It was live. There still is live programs going out as well. And I was like, okay, cool. So I just did it the way I would normally do it, which is launching, adding content, putting it out there, selling it, using webinars or video, live video to help sell it. And so it did really well on the first launch. And I was like, okay, so I've clearly got a winner here that I can develop and move forward with. Otherwise, I would have just refunded people money and tried a different idea. So I just tested out to see if people would pay for it.
Now, were you still offering services, or did you kind of transition clients to say, hey, I've got this course coming up? How did that work?
So it's a tricky transformation, because clients as a revenue and like a business model is very different from courses as a business model. So at a certain point, you're going to have to figure out like which one you're going to focus on. And so it got to a point where I was like, I got to focus on courses, because I had clients and I was investing so much energy into their launches and their success that actually my own business was kind of plateauing. So I needed to actually step away, take that income hit, and actually invest it more into Be Booked Out as a course. So every moment kind of comes down to that. Like, are you just going to do the bare minimum for your course and just keep it running in the back end as like an evergreen, or keep your clients who are pretty high, you know, price tags? Or are you going to take that income hit and invest more into your course and developing it out as its own fully fleshed kind of business model?
Yeah. So what's the verdict? Which side of the fence do you like being on better?
It's actually really tricky for me, because I really love client work. And so it's hard to say, because I actually like the creating part and the new strategies part a lot, so much so that my team's like, so we just gotta keep doing this one thing. And I'm like, yeah, you're right, but what about adding in flying sharks? And they're like, that's been done in Sharknado. And I'm like, oh, damn it. So I love client work, but we just found that we're helping so many more people would be booked out that I was like, okay, well, this is clearly, I'm getting people booked out on such a large scale now that I couldn't do with client work, that I need to focus on Be Booked Out. So I went with maximum effectiveness for helping other people get booked out.
I'll let you know.
Take
care of people. Yeah.
Well, I just want to see people succeed with their service-based business. Like, there's a lot of people online who can't do day jobs either because they're just not suited for office work and they can't handle fluorescent lighting, or because like they've got anxiety or depression, or because they've got kids. Like, that's the way the future is moving, is towards working for yourself online. So I want to facilitate that.
I agree. So let's talk about Be Booked Out. First and foremost, what is the goal of Be Booked Out? What should your learner be able to do after completing the course?
So I kind of go a little bit overboard with how much I teach, and people are like, you don't have to give away this much value. I'm like, but they need all these things. So it's a lot, but basically they should be able to be booked out at least 6 months in advance if they're a coach, and 3 months in advance if they're a designer, and 12 months in advance if they're a VA. But they basically should be able to create packages, launch their services online, and then fill up their wait list and learn how to keep their wait list warm for when they're opening up their services again.
Okay. And who's your target learner? You've kind of gotten to it a little bit, but tell me more.
It's the same solution for three different people. We started out originally with coaches, and then we were seeing a lot of success for designers and VAs who came in. And so we were like, okay, great. So we can apply the same solution to three different people. So it's designers, coaches, and VAs. Usually I recommend being specific and picking one person, but we offer the same solution to three different types of people, which is a different marketing model.
Yeah. And it works, you know. So full disclosure, I'm taking Hallie's course. I decided to, after running an agency and shutting it down, I decided, yeah, maybe I want to do this again.
You're great at it.
So I've been offering some services and I was like, let me check her out. And so your course is amazing.
Thanks,
you
dude.
Do a great job, which is why I wanted to interview you. You're amazing at what you do.
At so all that Sade was worth it.
Shout out to Sade.
Yeah, she's definitely the sponsor of this.
Right. So what does BBO look like? Give us a snapshot of what it looks like once we get inside the course, the structure, how many modules, all of that good stuff.
Okay, cool. So we've got 8 weeks. Each one has its own modules. We've broken it up to be a little bit more digestible. And since we offer so much content and value inside of it, I've tried to make it a little bit more easy to implement in action. So that's important. And then the week one is about finding that person who's the right person for you in terms of centering your marketing around, because you really need to do pick one person, because if you try to pick the whole internet, it's just going to not notice you. Super important. And then the next week is about creating profit packages that help sell and sell each other, which is super important because people just try to copy paste other people's services. And that's a really bad idea.
Yeah.
The next week is like creating a website that's a 24/7 salesperson that does your selling for you. Cause a lot of people hate selling like on a consult call. And I don't think that's a requirement. So this is about how you set up your website so that, you know, you can have people go through it and book your services while you're working with clients or you're doing something else or you're drinking coffee or you're napping, whatever you do in your usual day. The next one is about how to launch your services online so that actually people want to buy it and get excited about it and you educate them about why it's important. Then the next week is about how to stand out in terms of your content and have like 6 months of content kind of queued up or at least thought out. So it's strategic. And then how to do like guest posting, make friends online, do network hacking where you basically like make friends and they'll let you have access to their audience and so on and so forth. Then 2 more weeks left. On week 7, we talk about engineering an excellent client experience for wildfire word of mouth, because most people just think they can take the money and run and the client will be happy, but they won't. And then how to fill up your wait list, how to get people excited about working with you, even if they're waiting 6 months in advance. So
gotcha.
It's a big course, and I call it a program because we do the live version, and I'm in there for 8 weeks helping people through, but it definitely is a course. But yeah, it's a pretty thorough one.
Yeah, absolutely. So you do some things that not a lot of people do, like checking in with your learners at the beginning of each module. What's your course development process like? Because when I went through it, I was like, okay, wow, she's doing stuff that's heads and shoulders above what a lot of people are doing. So how do you approach building a course?
I basically approach it the same way I would approach like working with a client. So I figure out what I want them to accomplish and what's worked. And then I look at past data and figure out what's worked before. And then I also try to figure out how it's not just about intellectual, like logical, like here's your data information. It's also about how you help the student digest it and retain it and keep moving forward. Because a lot of the time, if we were just computers or robots, like no problem, take a course, learn it, implement it, go ahead. But a lot of time our brains try to cock block us from moving forward and even into positive change because they're kind of douches like that. So it's about facilitating like the students, like, unfortunately I'm not into emotions, but you got to facilitate your students' emotional journey through it because there's going to be a lot of change. There's going to be a lot of doubt. There's going to be a lot of mental like obstacles that you have to go over in terms of making them keep moving forward and absorbing the information. And so I try to make sure that I look at that part of the student journey and figure out how I can apply strategies to increase their engagement and keep them like excited about it while also addressing like the obstacles that they're going through so that they get the most success possible.
All right. So you just said something I've been wanting to ask you about for a little while.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm going completely off script here.
Yay.
What does it mean when you say you're not into emotions? Break that down for me.
Okay. All right. Here we go. So, it's basically me being me, but basically I'm not into emotions because a lot of times people will sell you into there's a lot of people out there selling services where they're like, I'll help you with your emotions. I'm like, that's what a therapist does. So what I'm about is like, you need to take action, because at the end of the day, if somebody gives me money, I want to give them a tangible thing that they can use and reuse. And if people focus on emotions, which a lot of people do online when they're trying to build a successful business, they focus on the wrong part first. They're like, I want to feel good first about my business. And like, fuck that shit. That's not going to work, because your business is going to make you feel horrible because it's pushing you outside your comfort zone. Yes. So if your expectation is to feel good, you're fucking yourself over. And so part of my marketing campaign is to be like, fuck feelings. You just need success first. And then you can move forward into feeling good about yourself or whatever, feeling good about your business. So it's part of my marketing strategy. I have to say it, because otherwise people will come in and spend like half the course talking to me about their feelings. I'll be like, I am not qualified and I do not care. Let's just move forward. Okay, so I gotta,
I got it. Okay.
Did I answer it? Because yeah. I know.
You did.
Okay.
You
I can't make them feel better. That, like, it's basically like going to a personal trainer and being like, I want to feel good about, or I want a 6-pack abs. And I'm like, okay, great. Get on the treadmill. And then they're like, yeah, but I want to talk about it. And I'm like, no.
What's funny about that is that, you know, especially right now with like social media and everything, everybody just wants to feel good, right? Yeah. They don't want to hear that there's going to be work involved and that you're going to feel like shit for a while and that yeah, you're probably totally. Going to cry and yeah. you're, you know, all the
crying.
Things that you
crying.
Might do while you're building your business
yeah.
before you get to the point where you can start to feel good. And even then you might feel good for a minute and then crash and then
right?
have to build yourself back up. So right. that's what's interesting is that you're just getting that out the way. Like, I can't, we're not going to do that. We're not going to mm-hmm. have that pipe dream. So I like it. Now I get it. I don't have to have that question. Cause I was like, what yeah. does she mean when she says that? Okay.
It's also an inside joke, because it's been a lot, like even with my clients, I was like, I don't do feelings. So you're going to have to move forward. And they're like, oh, right. I forgot. And so even if they're crying, they're like, I know you don't do feelings. I was like, yeah, I don't, but it's okay. You can cry if you want. So I'm basically one of those friends who just awkwardly gives you a hug. And I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. I'm going to just walk away quietly. Just cool. army crawl out. yeah.
All right. So let's get back to BBO. So yeah. this was your process when you were working with clients. What did you have to adjust to make it work in a course format?
Okay. So I was already using worksheets, but I was kind of relying, I kind of thought clients wanted to hear me talk about this stuff like one-on-one, and they do. But they kind of just want you to like give them like how to do it is like as like something they can do by themselves. So it ended up being a lot about like having to take it and turn it into a worksheet and then give them like the worksheet and then go over it with them and then let them do it by themselves. So a lot of this stuff was already created and a lot of this like curriculum was already created. It just was over like a 12-month or a 6-month period versus a, you know, eight week period.
Yeah.
It was a little bit hard because I had to figure out, I just had to write a lot more stuff and then record a lot more stuff. And then the first version of Be Booked Out was actually super heavy. And so the second round, I actually had to go back in and be like, okay, how can I take out some of this stuff? How can I make sure that it's way more actionable? Because I think as a course creator, you kind of give out too much like background information of like, here's the history of marketing and why Hallie says cock block. And people don't need to know that shit. They yeah. just need to know like, how do I write a sales page? So I try to focus on like the actual instructions of getting stuff done. And I'm like, but part of it is that they have to trust the method. So another part of our marketing campaign is like, just trust the method, go through it. And so that was something that I had to figure out, like, how do I not only give them the instructions, but also give them the confidence in it to keep moving forward?
Yeah. So you said that this could be like 6 months of working with clients and the course is 8 weeks. So how does that translate into what your students are feeling? And well, we don't talk about feelings, my bad.
That's okay. We can talk about them. I just can't fix them because that's my jam. So it does end up being a very intense 8 weeks. But what we've got is that we've given people in the live program, because it's also we've got one as a like self-led program or course as well. Sorry, I keep saying program. So it's the live course basically allows us to support them, answer their questions. They keep going, but it is a lot of change. And so they usually have to go. Either two situations happen. They get booked out by week 4, so they don't end up finishing it anyways, yeah. and they have to come back. or it takes them longer and then they come back into the next round to complete it, because we offer them with a 12-month Facebook group access that we're giving them right now that they can do it multiple times. So every time we run live, they can totally jump in and like ask questions and get help. So it's been really fascinating actually to see how that goes, because it is a lot of information. But how I've created the course is that by week 4, possibly week 5, they should be already booked out. That's like how I've structured it in terms of course curriculum. So if they haven't, that's okay, because that just means they need a little bit more time to like implement or get traction in their audience. But usually what we see and what I've like, what I believe in creating courses about is that by the first half of it, they should have everything they need to get the results. And then there's all this additional stuff to support them long term.
Yep. So what are some of the obstacles that people run into that you've seen commonly as they go through?
Feelings, always a feeling. And then people seem to also like in being booked out or going through a course or okay. So when it comes to being strategic with people's marketing, they usually are just spending the wrong time on the wrong things. So that's a hard habit to break. So a lot of people are used to being like, but I'm just going to be in Facebook groups 12 hours a day. Okay. Well, if that was working, you would be like, you would be booked out already. You wouldn't be in this course. So what happens is that people have to change their habits, which is a massive thing. And so a course is competing against a lot of different patterns that are hard to break because they're already ingrained. So it's habits, it's feelings, and basically it's like expectations that people have. And so that's what I try to cover inside the content and the supporting emails I give with it. Mm. But basically in being booked out, people aren't being strategic. And so they usually are just putting up their services like everybody else. They're writing the same things. They're trying to sell it in a way that they're not sure is actually a good way to sell it. They just see other people doing it. So a lot of the time what happens in Be Booked Out is people come in and they're like, oh, what do you mean I don't have to do consult calls? And I'll be like, yeah, that shit's not effective long term. Feel free to do them, but you don't have to do them as part of your process. So a lot of the times it feels like it's a re-education about like what they need to do and what they don't need to do. And yeah, I think it's like, yeah.
One of the things I love about your course is that you make people think. I think somebody in the Facebook group was saying recently, my brain hurts. I'm just like,
there's a lot of people hurt.
It's like the first 3 weeks, especially, it's just like, boom, and you have to work through it. So is that intentional? Do you do that? Because some people like to ease into the information, but it's like you hit them as soon as they come in.
I could see why. It's like getting into hot bath. Do you go slow or do you just jump in?
Right.
I believe in jumping in. I actually structured it so I would try to get the hard stuff out of the way first. And actually, you'll see that the course content kind of peters, like gets lighter and lighter as you go through the course.
Yeah.
Because I believe the motivation is the highest at the beginning of a course. So that's really when you should strike when the iron is hot and then like get them some tiny results and then move forward with the next bit.
Yep.
But you're right. Yeah. People's brains hurt. So I'm still trying to figure out like how I can improve it and improve their success rates and stuff. So it's fascinating because I'm like, okay, great. I'm not trying to teach them how to be marketers. I'm just teaching them how to market their own business, which is a very distinct difference.
Yeah.
So absolutely. It does make your brain hurt to think in that new way.
Cool. So one thing that you do that you also do well, it's so many things.
Have such a good day.
You are winning the internet. You and Paul Jarvis are winning the internet.
Good old PJ. Yeah, Jarvis.
Yes, we love Paul Jarvis. But your Facebook group is jumping. And I know a lot of people struggle with building a lively, active community. So how did you get it to that point? What are some pointers you can share with people?
I think the thing that I do that probably is the biggest difference is that I encourage people to feel confident in their own smarts. And I think that's something that's important, because when I get on the first call with them, like, look, you're here for marketing advice. That's my jam. That's what I'm the expert in. But everyone else is experts in their stuff. So like treating everybody as the smart people that they are and saying like, look, this is where I'm sitting, but everybody else has a seat at this table and they're equally important to your success, because I think that's really important. Like Facebook groups can be a little bit stifled because you're like waiting for the person who's leading it to like say something or tell you what to do. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know how to brand for shit. So why don't you go and talk to somebody who's really smart in this group, who's there for that? Like you're all there for help with marketing, but you're all really fucking good at what you do. So I think it's about encouraging people to, you know, feel comfortable being smart and talking about what they're good at in the group instead of waiting for you to like tag in all the time.
Yeah. Cool. So you launched this course before and then you thought about some things, made some changes. What were some things you were like, I completely just ruined that moment. I need to redo it. What were the challenges you had with the first round?
So with the first round, I just found that I gave them too much information. And so I had to pare it back and just make it way more like, okay, this is what you do. This is what you do. Here's a template. Here's a spreadsheet. Here's some examples. Here's like pick five of these. So very much like, don't think about it, just do it and just move forward.
Yeah.
Which was hard because another hard part for me particularly was I don't like to go back and redo things. I don't like to read my own work. Like to me, that's like listening to my voice on a podcast and be like, oh, I didn't know it was that high pitched. So it was hard for me to go back and like review my own work and be like, okay, you know, like, why did I write that? So it was basically another 20 hours of Sade and me crying over Merlot. Like, it was so bad. So, so it was going back, reviewing the work, redoing it, updating it. That was hard, but the information was valuable. So I'm not regretting any of that, but I think what most of us forget to do is just make it really like fast to implement in action. Cause we're not teaching people to be us. We're teaching people to take our strategies and apply them. And so it's a very different perspective. And even though I've told people to do that, you know, years ago, putting it into practice is a whole nother bag of cats. I don't know what I just said there. That instant
regret. I don't know. I've never seen a bag of cats, but I imagine it would be a terrible thing.
It would be terrible waste, right? The whole bag of adorable kittens.
And just like, chaos. They would just be clawing and it would be crazy. So that's cool. Yeah.
Take that back. Bad metaphor. Sometimes they go bad. Yeah. Back up the train.
Good
show. Metaphor's gone bad. I would be the star.
No worries. Okay, cool. So let's talk about tools in our last few minutes. I know you're a big fan of Thinkific. Are there any other tools that you can't live without when it comes to creating your course?
Okay, good question. I know I've already said it, but Thinkific.
Yes.
Because if you use their surveys function, you can actually improve your marketing data exponentially.
Yep.
Because if you track your students' progress from when they start to when they end, that'll help you get better testimonials without having to go and ask them for a testimonial, which is literally one of the hardest things to do. So seeing that data across the whole progress is awesome. And Thinkific allows you to do that. Also, they're really, really cool people.
They are cool people.
Yeah, they're amazing. I use Pages and I just did it on Pages and I just recorded it with Snagit. To be honest, like I just went real, it was real janky the first round. I'm going to be honest. It was pretty gross, but Thinkific, ClickFunnels, Pages, and now like QuickTime.
Yeah. I was about to say I think your videos, I was like, I think she's on a Mac, so she's probably using QuickTime. Cool.
Yeah.
Really, really low tech. No, I asked that because people get so caught up in tools, like so caught up in tools, and you don't need to. You really don't. Focus on your content.
Yeah. Right. I actually just did I went to visit Thinkific up in Vancouver because they're so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And I did a 4-hour course challenge where we put together a course in 4 hours, and all it took was Thinkific and a MacBook with Pages on it, and we were good to go.
Very nice. Very nice.
Yes.
All right, Hallie, we are down to the final three questions. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
First one is an easy one. What's next for you? Anything exciting coming up?
We are literally about to launch Be Booked Out Live in the next week. So that's what we're doing. I'll be booked out all the time.
Very cool. So I know it's launch madness over there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one. Where can people find out more about you?
So if they're interested in being booked out, which I'm not sure if they would be, we're over at bebookedout.com. But our main home for our digital fam is over at evolveandsucceed.com.
Cool. All right. I'll be sure to add those in the show notes. And last question, what is your why? Why do you get up and do this every day?
Ooh, good cue. Feelings though. Because I basically love to see smart people like yourself and other people who are in Be Booked Out get months of clients ready, because then what they do, okay, here's my why, because life is really fucking short and you need to make money to actually live, right? You need it to pay your bills. You need it to go do your travel. You need it if you want to have kids or if you have kids. So for you to be able to like do have the sort of life you want so that you have no regrets at the end of your life, you need to have clients and you need to work for yourself because it allows enough flexibility that you can go and build a lifestyle that suits you best for getting the most out of every minute that you're alive. So that's why, because at the end of the day, I want to help thousands of people online building these businesses that get them booked out so that they can go and spend their free time living a life that has no regrets.
All right. Every now and then I have to do this. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to push a little further. I'm just going to poke. Why does that matter to you, Hallie?
Well, because when my mom was on the sweet, sweet cancer run to, I don't know where I'm going with that, but basically when my mom was dying, you know, the regret of not traveling around the world, she had been a massage therapist working for herself. And so she had owned her own business, but it had ended up owning her. And, you know, there's always flexibility. There's always a way to make shit work. But it was sad to see someone who I cared about have something be unchecked. Like, I want people to check those things off. And so it's cool to be able to help her. But at the same time, it's like, well, I don't want that to happen to anybody I know online, like, or anybody I know around me. I want people to make the most of this short time we have. So let's do that by getting you booked out first and then going to do that stuff that you find important next.
There it is. Hallie, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your course and all of your marketing genius with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. I'm really glad I was here.
Did you catch that moment when Hallie stopped being marketing genius, CEO, founder, and just got vulnerable with us? Like, that was my favorite moment of the episode. Hallie, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your expertise, sharing your genius, your tips, your strategies, but also for being vulnerable with us and getting into your feelings a little bit. I definitely appreciate that, and I don't take it lightly. All right. For those of you listening, if you are interested in being booked out, if you offer a service or services and you are thinking about doing a course and you want to get more recurring revenue and this interview made you go, oh my gosh, that's what I should be focused on, not my course right now, then I highly recommend you check out Hallie's course. I never give out links like this in the show, but I'm going to do it for the first time ever on the show. Go to bebookedout.com if you are interested in Hallie's course. I think that as of this recording, she's running a special before she raises her rates. So you definitely, or her course fee. So if you want to take advantage at a price that won't be around ever again, bebookedout.com. I don't get anything for saying that. I'm not an affiliate. Don't get any money. I just believe in her work. So check that out. Also, if you are interested in the show notes, you can find those at zencourses.co/052 for episode 52. Again, that's zencourses.co/052. Now, coming up next week, before we get out of here, next week on the show, we will have Tiffany Michael. You will hear from Tiffany. I'm not going to spoil it. No spoilers. But I will tell you that there has never been an interview like this on the show. We're going to dig into some very deep topics about education and ed tech. And I'm excited to share it with you. So definitely tune in next week. And with that, my name is Janelle Allen. This has been the Zen Courses Show. Thank you so much for lending me your ears for one more week. I will see you next time.